T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sam Amick is an NBA insider and a terrific one for USA Today. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam_Amick, and he's with Joe Lowe and Dibs right now on 95.7 The Game. Sam, good morning. For the Cavaliers, what exactly is the approach here down the stretch? LeBron's playing 47 minutes in Atlanta last night, and now they've got the Heat tonight. They're really pressing for this one seed, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they are. And this is, you know, kind of a textbook case of exactly what you don't want to have happen to you and to have to be doing when you're an elite team and a defending champion. I mean, listen, last year, since, you know, we're talking in the Bay Area here, when the Warriors were pushing for 73, you know, at least that had a historic component and it was, you know, a good problem to have. But there were similar concerns for an elite, you know, at that time, the defending champions, trying to, you know, think about the gas tank, think about the idea that there's a big picture here and a marathon in the playoffs that, as you guys know, this is not the NCAA tournament. This is not 10 days, you know, whatever it might be. This is a long haul. It's hard to not feel like, especially with LeBron, those minutes, that those are going to come back to bite these guys.
How critical will it be them for them to get the top seed? Their road record, pedestrian, 20-20 on the season away from Cleveland. Is it really almost must-win territory for them because of how they've struggled on the road?
I mean, you know that what they're going to say is, you know, that especially LeBron, he'll give you the line about how he's won playoff series where, you know, his team didn't have the home court advantage. Things of that nature, but you know, you want to check as many boxes as possible going into the playoffs, and to not have that home court edge would be big. I mean, that being said, I still don't see Boston or, you know, Toronto, Washington knocking them off, but they're looking vulnerable still, and they're just looking very gettable. And I think the confidence of everybody else in the East going into the playoffs has got to be sky high right now.
I couldn't agree with you more. It looks like the East is starting to surge. Teams believe that they can beat up on the Cavs now. See LeBron's minutes up. LeBron went out publicly and said, hey, he wanted a point guard, wanted more help, more weapons, and they got that. Ownership giving him that. If this team is to struggle and not make it to the NBA Finals, could you see that there could be a change, especially at the coaching position? That's Ty Lue, mean?
I would be surprised by that. You know, but never say never. You know, he's a guy that I think Ty in these playoffs is going to be in a new spot where he's going to have to prove himself. You know, last year, you kind of reaped the benefits of knowing that, listen, when you make a coaching change, you know, they're not going to do it twice in one year. And he was kind of the people's choice, so to speak, where LeBron was very happy with him, even though at the time, if you guys remember, you know, Mark Jackson was the guy that LeBron had wanted in there. And so, you know, that context is not going to completely go away. But Ty, I think, has got to prove himself. You know, and I think, to me, it's just the roster, it's pretty old. They got some old components on there. And Kyrie's fantastic, obviously a young guy, and Kevin Love, too. But I think about Richard Jefferson and how, you know, give Richard a ton of credit. Last year, you guys remember, it's like, man, he had some fantastic moments in the playoffs. Well, I mean, Richard literally retired and then unretired. That tells you what stage of life he's in. The other thing that jumps out at me about the Cavs, and that if I was a Cavs fan, I'd be worried about, is that Tristan Thompson, for the longest time, was the X factor to their defense. And, you know, recently, even when Tristan's on the floor, they're terrible defensively. They just cannot find the right formula to be the team they were a year ago.
NBA insider from USA Today, Sam Amick, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Humor us for a moment. It's a hypothetical we were kicking around. I'd love your opinion on this. If the Cavs somehow stumble in the Eastern Conference playoffs and they do not make it to the finals, and the organization decides that they want to part ways with Tyronn Lue, but LeBron James wants to keep him, ultimately who has the final say, LeBron or ownership/management?
You know, I mean, he's got a significant voice for sure. But, you know, it's funny. I mean, even the story that I just kind of alluded to about how he wanted Mark Jackson, but they hired Ty Lue, LeBron is pretty defensive at times to make, you know, if he was answering the question, he would be pulling that line about how I'm just a player here. Well, he's obviously not just a player, but he doesn't have the final say that people think. And that's why the dynamic between him and Dan Gilbert is so fascinating, because I honestly don't truly believe that LeBron has ever really forgiven Gilbert for the way that he sent him packing. You know, LeBron chose to leave. He goes to Miami, but the letter and all the acrimony between those two guys, I don't necessarily think that ever got completely resolved. I think, you know, LeBron chose to kind of ignore that because he wanted to go home. He wanted to play for the Cavs. But he's not going to have the final say, and he hasn't had the final say when it goes to, you know, the coaching decision. And the other thing that shouldn't be forgotten here is that this is a kind of a strange, unique situation, is that their GM, Dave Griffin, has no contract after this season. That's the byproduct of Gilbert not really having, you know, his style is not to give contracts, you know, before they're up. But now I think it's creating a you know, it's something to monitor, because LeBron's talked about it. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Griff wasn't a GM somewhere else next year.
Sam Amick joining us here on 95.7 The Game, turning our attention to the Warriors with their two games remaining. KD comes back, looks pretty good. Steph Curry sits out with a knee contusion. Where do you see the Warriors as far as how they're playing versus where they were last year heading into the playoffs?
Last year, you know, obviously surging and on top of the world and looking unbeatable. It's funny. I mean, right now it's a different version of looking unstoppable with a lot to monitor. You know, I watched that game closely the other night to see how Kevin looked. You know, I thought he looked pretty good. Fluid motions. Looks like he's going to be the guy that they got used to having around for the first 4 months of the season. But Steve Kerr, you know, we talked about Ty Lue and the challenge ahead for him. I think Steve's got an interesting postseason run ahead of him, because that team last year was not only clicking on all cylinders and just looking, you know, so good. They had been together for a long, long time, and it got to the point where it felt like it was on autopilot, and it felt like, you know, Steve just had to continue keeping that rhythm. Now they have a very different landscape. You have a team where they had to learn about integrating Kevin and how can we best use his talents but not lose what we had before, you know, when we didn't have him. You learned a lot when Kevin was healthy. Then when Kevin goes down, you had to reshape your defense. To their credit, still number one in the NBA during that stretch, and learn some new lessons. And it's like, you know, Steve's had this season-long education on his roster and this talent and how he needs to use it. And, you know, but now he's got to put that all together. And hopefully for their sake, they stay healthy. But it's interesting, because as great as they looked without Kevin, it's obviously foolhardy to think that adding Kevin Durant's a bad idea, but Kevin has to be used in the right doses. How often do you go to him on ISO, you know, if the offense isn't flowing? How do you kind of play that game of, you know, your turn, my turn between him and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? Good problems to have, but I mean, that's where they're at right now.
Who in your opinion can push this team 7 when you're talking about the dubs? And why does it seem like it's a foregone conclusion when you watch the way they play 65 games? Durant goes down, they struggle, go 2-5, then all of a sudden win 13, 14 games in a row. What makes you think that, you know, that this guy can't fit, the bench has gotten better? Who, in your opinion, out of that's left, when you're talking about the teams out there, who do you feel that in the West can push them 7 games?
I mean, I think it's down to San Antonio and Houston. I don't see, you know, the Clippers and the Jazz. It's been fun to see them, you know, getting back in the playoffs first time since 2012. But as far as to your question of just who can actually beat these guys, I think it's only those two teams. And, you know, it feels like it's a puncher's chance with Houston. And, you know, their formula is not that complicated, and it's fun to watch, and it's dangerous, which is, you know, the Warriors are the best in the NBA at guarding the three-point shot in terms of opponent's percentage. So they're very good at it, but my goodness, the Rockets test you, and they're shooting threes at a historic rate. And, you know, if they got even hotter than normal, and in the context of a playoff series, were able to do their thing at a high level, you know, they could certainly upset a team like the Warriors. The Spurs, it's I don't know what to think anymore about that matchup. For one, Kawhi Leonard's got to be MVP caliber against Golden State. You know, he was that guy in the season opener. when they embarrassed the Warriors on their home floor. He was not that guy in that recent game in San Antonio when the Warriors shut him down, and they won that game after going down by 22. So we've seen both sides of the coin with San Antonio, and we have a lot less kind of evidence to research between the Spurs-Warriors matchup as far as, you know, real games, real minutes, where you can make it, you know, form an opinion of how you know, what are the Spurs odds against the Warriors. But elite defense and obviously extremely well coached as always. So those two teams are the threats, and in the playoffs with the Warriors, you got to watch the, it's kind of the Charles Barkley line of thinking where it's like those shots are not always going to fall. So, you know, the Warriors have got to make sure they don't lose that defensive identity that they obviously have, because Steph and Clay, you know, are going to have cold stretches here in the playoffs.
Sam Amick, USA Today with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sam, help me out with this MVP debate. Yesterday, Russell Westbrook was absolutely sick. Game-winning shot against Denver. He goes for 50, 16, and 10. And that's what everyone focuses on. But Friday night, they're getting blown out in Phoenix against the lousy Suns team. And late in the game, the Suns are leaving him wide open because they were specifically trying to prevent him from getting a triple-double. And with wide open looks, rather than shoot, he was still trying to pass to rack up the triple-double. Now, he's one of the most entertaining players in the NBA, no doubt. But this season, we have over 110 triple-doubles. 5 years ago, we had 18. Why does this stat even matter so much anymore?
I mean, it matters to the Thunder because, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on the number. He just passed Oscar. Is it 42?
42, I believe.
Now.
Yes.
They are 33-9 when he has triple doubles. That's what matters to them. It's, you know, that's kind of, for me, in this debate, in this argument, where admittedly, as we sit here right now, I'm a voter who has had his vote recently changed from James Harden to Russell Westbrook, and I was on Harden's side for a long time. To me, I just, that's my drop the mic moment when it comes to Russ, because I don't care about the rest of it. There's a clear correlation between them winning and him getting triple doubles. You know, every team should be so lucky to have a guy that chases an allegedly selfish stat, because they win games when he gets triple doubles. Now the Phoenix game, sure, not a good look, but I also can't disagree with his logic. When I thought it was funny when he was asked about it post game, and he said, "I was 7 for 25 from the field. What the F do you want me to do?" you know, because it's, you know, you want to be 7 for 35. He's smart enough to know he still has those nights when he just can't hit a shot. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He doesn't shoot the ball, you know, like Steph and Clay, and he never will. He's trying to grab this MVP award by the throat and take it home, and it's a fascinating one. I mean, this morning, how often do you see LeBron James, MVP candidate himself, who has had a historic season in his own right, when you want to talk about production across the board and shooting 54% plus from the field, something that's never been done, gets on his platform that he's partners with uninterrupted, does a 2-minute video. This is not a 20-second, 30-second video. This is a 2-minute video giving a tribute to Russ, and not only saying congrats on the triple-double record, but talking about, you know, just who he is and his family and just gushing about Russell Westbrook. I feel like if you're handicapping it right now, you know, I think he probably winds up being the MVP, but I think it's going to be close. You know, James and what he's done with the Rockets has been tremendous. I think in the end, he's going to lose a lot of votes because of the context being so different. Mike D'Antoni, as a leading coach of the year candidate, is going to steal some of the credit away from James. That system, like his assist number is tremendous, but, you know, I do think, I mean, you put those shooters around Russ and he's going to give you probably 3 more assists a game. I mean, Russ is surrounded by guys who get nervous when they're shooting beyond 15 feet for the most part. You know, I just, near the end of the season here, I'm just absolutely amazed at what Russ has been doing.
Sam Amick, USA Today with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sam, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up again soon.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.